I'm good at what I do. And you're the type of person that, like, when you're in the right room with the right people, like, people generally do business with you. Okay, I really think you should be paying attention to what I've been talking about today, because you are perfectly primed for leading in generosity to solve this once and forever.
Welcome to the How Leaders Think podcast, the show that transforms you by renewing your mind and giving you new ways to think. I am your host, Kenny Lang, and with me today is the Josh Ellidge. He is the CEO and founder of Up My Influence. He's a frequent speaker at business and startup conferences, including Social Media Marketing World, which is like gigantic if you don't know. Mm-hmm. And speaking of gigantic, he's also spoken at a Tony Robbins event where I imagine he stood on hot coals to deliver his presentation for his business mastery grads. All right. That's like that's a high level. Yeah. He's a weekly consumer expert on Fox 35, Orlando, and News 13. He writes a syndicated column for 9 newspapers, total readership above 1.1 million readers. That's a lot of eyeballs. And regularly appears on more than 75 TV stations across the country, totaling more than 2,500 times he's appeared in the media. So he is a professional. Welcome to the show, Josh.
Kenny, it's so great to be here. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I am excited. We get to turn the tables a little bit. Now I get to ask the questions. If you're listening to this, go check out Josh's show. He's releasing daily. I don't know how he does it. He's got to be wired with better caffeine than I have, but we had a great conversation.
Kenny, you're referring to the podcast. It's called The Thoughtful Entrepreneur. And yeah, Kenny, it was a great conversation. Thank you so much. To a friend that's listening, if you just want to search in your podcast app for The Thoughtful Entrepreneur, scroll back through the episodes and you'll find my interview with Kenny. But it was just absolutely fantastic. I love what you do. I love who you serve. And again, like I said, just honored to be here and provide value as well.
Yeah, I'm expecting another fun conversation. Tell me, Josh, what is on your mind?
What's on my mind? It's truly, I'll tell you, in terms of our roles as leaders, there are so many decisions that we have to make, both internally, externally, our goals, growth, that sort of thing. And I'll tell you that is probably going to be the main thrust of what we talk about today. I am a huge fan of leading in generosity at all times, in all places, and also always at all times, being as transparent as we possibly can at all times and in all situations, simply because my background, which I was a journalist in the United States Navy, and I had the opportunity to really get the direction of my life shifted a bit when I got to learn from the one, the only Staff Sergeant Adrian Kronauer. And if that name sounds at all familiar, he was the subject of the movie Good Morning Vietnam, where he was played by Robin Williams. But one thing that Staff Sergeant Kronauer was emphatic about was always being in integrity anytime, anywhere. So again, if it's a leadership situation, that's applicable. If you are on stage, you're speaking at an industry conference, you're giving a shareholder presentation, listen, obviously there's some things in terms of disclosure and we need to keep some things close to the vest. But again, I would argue that today, it's very difficult to fool people today. And this kind of gets into my background and experiences as a consumer advocate and consumer expert, which has been my persona for the past 18 years as with my other company, Savings Angel. So my syndicated newspaper column and all the TV appearances and so forth that I've done, it's really on studying and leading on consumer behavior. What I can tell you, and again, this is illustrated well in the book Marketing Rebellion by Mark Schaefer, but audiences today, shareholders today, employees today have never been more skeptical, have never been more thoughtful or analytical or protective of their time and attention. Again, that's why I generally lean in the direction of try to just have full disclosure as much as possible. A lot of my background is in PR. And again, while you want to be able to manage the narrative, I'm a big fan of honesty is always the best policy. And certainly Adrian Kronauer, that's the story that, you know, again, I don't want to spoil the movie. If you haven't seen Good Morning Vietnam, go watch the movie and you'll understand exactly where I align.
Gotcha. And I love that. And I love the idea of leading in generosity always in all ways.
Yeah.
Can you tell me, though, in the world we're in, where skepticism is at an all-time high, there's probably good reason for it, but what do you see as the prevailing wisdom of the day that would make that sort of approach stand out, right? Because if everybody was leading through generosity, then this might be a rather bland topic for you and I to talk about. But I think it's different. It's not what people are seeing. What are you seeing that makes generosity countercultural?
Okay, so my primary role today, so I'm often brought in as a bit of a fractional chief revenue officer. We typically only work B2B. We work with a lot of consultants, coaches, agency owners. As long as they've got some okay authority, they've got some momentum behind them already, then that's usually an opportunity that I can do a lot of good. When we think about generosity, I would say one of the greatest or strongest voices out there, and I think he's just done some phenomenal work, is Bob Berg. And he and his co-author, John David Mann, wrote the book, The Go-Giver. If there's one book that you read after hearing this interview, please go read Bob's book, The Go-Giver, the original red book. And then based on, if you need a little bit more focus on leadership, he's got The Go-Giver Leader. If you're involved in sales and growth, I highly recommend The Go-Giver Sells More. But it's a great philosophy on what works today. So in my role, when it comes to growth and driving revenue, and sometimes that involves marketing, mostly account-based sales. I do a lot of work around that. So here's the good news. If you have a heart that is aligned with servant leadership and generosity, the good news is you are actually in the minority. When we think about particularly areas like marketing, unfortunately, you'd alluded to a lot of the systems that used to work very well. And again, if we're thinking about where revenue comes from, how do we connect with more donors? How do we connect with, if you're involved in sales, how do we get more quote unquote leads, which I don't actually care for that term. We can talk more about that another time. But you know, again, if it's building key relationships, if you're trying to connect with investors or influencers, marketers, unfortunately, tend to almost always choose lazy ways forward. So it's more of a spray and pray philosophy. It's more of a just cast a wider net and hopefully they'll self-select. We can earn that time. That is working less and less. A lot of your typical platforms like your sales, let's talk about sales in particular. Sales Navigator, email lead gen, that sort of thing. Ads have just gotten way more expensive. They've become way less effective because the lead gen locusts have decimated the fields. So if you go into LinkedIn Sales Navigator today, it's a lot harder than it was 5 years ago. 5 years ago, it was actually pretty easy. Like you could do pretty good business. Through the pandemic and you know, years since, it's only gotten worse and worse. Again, Mark Schaefer has done some good work back. This is quite a few years ago that book came out. And he's like, guys, it's all crumbling down around you. So if you don't lean into authenticity and relationship, you're going to get left behind. Again, we end up working with a lot of VPs of sales or people that are involved in growth, that sort of thing. And we really help them implement more of a generosity first approach. Like you have to be in account-based sales. If you want to earn relationships, you're going to have to give away what other people are not giving away. And you have to be able to give away something that's going to earn you that time together so that you can build a relationship first, then assess for need and just be of service, right? So you want to create this environment where you're just circulating with top level leaders on a regular basis. And you can do that. There's a lot of ways you could do that. One of my favorites is using a platform like podcasting, which I'm happy to talk about that. Again, it's what can you give away that's going to earn you time together, but you got to have a heart of being generous, not for the sake of making sales. You have to have a heart of being generous because it's the right thing to do. And it's the way that you would want to be treated. Like when we go to a really good event and let's say you just organically bump into someone, you get to talking, you're like, man, there's some, it sounds like there might be some, we should talk later and see if we should be doing, you just like the other person. Let's say you're on a panel together or something. And you're like, hey, I really like what you had to say. Dude, let's grab coffee or let's grab Zoom sometime next week. I'd love to see if there's something we should be doing together. And then it just very organically turns into business. Like we've all had those experiences. That's what you want to be able to create for yourself on a regular basis, because that's where most of us today who are servant leaders, or again, this generosity approach, account-based sales and marketing, this is where those folks are doing very well today, because there is an outright rejection of all of the other ways of being sold at and treated like a lead. And I could go through some data on this to back this up, but I'll just say that the current state of lead gen is pretty, pretty bad today.
Yeah. So I think there's a lot to unpack there.
Everything in the kitchen sink in that last.
Yeah, no, there's so much I want to dig into. Something you were talking about, how marketers and comparing them to locusts, which is fantastic. But there's a great saying that says marketers ruin everything. Is because we'll slap it on. We'll just take the words and we'll put it here and there and everywhere and just, like you said, we'll just spray and pray and just blast everybody instead of being very targeted. It's like a sunbeam instead of being a laser beam. Two things. One, what is continuing in that manner of spray and pray, of give to get, right? Okay, yeah, we'll give you this asset or this experience or something like that, but it's explicitly stated, you got to give me something back.
So when you read The Go-Giver, you'll know that that's where a lot of your earlier amateur marketers are going to fail, right? Because they're so desperate for what it is that they want. Now, because of that, here's the reality. We all know, speaking for myself and speaking for every other leader that we know what you want. Like we've all had that feeling, like when you go to like a car salesman and you could tell it's like, he's just trying to work real hard to get that sale. It's just, it's off-putting. And we've all been at those mixers where someone is like a me monster and they're running around slapping business cards in hands and they're hustling. It's just very distasteful. Do not do that same behavior today digitally. Do not outsource your reputation to some cheap labor lead gen stuff, because that will negatively affect your reputation. So let me give you some data. According to Harvard Business Review, 90% of top-level B2B decision makers never respond to cold outreach or unsolicited sales calls. So right off the bat, you are missing out on the 90% of the most attractive businesses out there. And I really question what's going on with the 10% who have the time to respond to spammers. Like it just doesn't happen. But here's the problem though. If you do it and say, I'm just going to try and aim for that 10%, 60% of the whole, according to WebFX, did a research on this, that negatively impacts the perception of your company when you're just trying to drum up business through spamming. Again, it's not how leaders want to do work. 74%, and this is LinkedIn Corporate who did this, when they looked at how business buyers prefer to do business, it's they like to do business with people who are personally introduced to them, referred by a friend, good old-fashioned networking, relationship-focused sales. That's what we want to encourage, way more of that, less of the stuff that AI can do and super cheap labor can do, right? If you have a decent bit of authority, why on earth would you compete in the red ocean of amateurs? You've earned a ticket to do business like business adults do. And so instead, again, your focus should be creating and really working on what I like to refer to as a whisper network, right? It's just high-level leaders behind the scenes, having adult conversations, collaborating, making introductions. You get those engines going up and it's a flywheel. And it doesn't take very long. When you concentrate on that for a good 6 months, generally you can get to a point. Again, if you're also leading in generosity, you can get to a point in 6 to 12 months where you just don't need to hustle anymore. And wouldn't that feel great, especially at your stage in business, assuming that we're talking with a leader right now?
Yeah. Absolutely. Again, there's so much because, and most of the people, if you're listening to this, my background's in sales and marketing and running an agency. And so I get excited to talk about these sort of things. And at one point I was going to make fun of all the bad marketing advice and start it's like the Babylon Bee or the Onion, but for marketing, and it's called morebettermarketing.com.
Yeah.
Maybe I should do that, but
there's a lot of bad advice. So I don't want anyone to, Kenny, I'm sorry to interrupt. I just want to note this because I don't want someone to feel bad. If someone says we've been doing it, it's felt a little out of alignment for us to begin with, but we were just told that's the necessary evil you're supposed to do
right, in
order to do the thing that you really want to do. And I absolutely reject that notion. You should never be doing anything that is out of alignment with your values. So if you don't right. like being spammed at, please don't spam other people. Only right. do business in the way that you want to do business with you. So when you do that, you just find emotionally and spiritually, it's just far more enjoyable to come into work and do the work that you do and have the impact in the world that you want to do. Right.
I hate the term devil's advocate. I think he has enough. He doesn't need another one. But what do you say to the salesperson, yeah. and maybe they're a fresh end VP sales, something like that. They're brought in to turn things around, or that scrappy business owner who's trying to get things up and running. Maybe they have one or two employees, got a couple kids, like they're trying to put food on the table, yeah. and they're listening to you and say, yeah, that would be nice, Josh, if I had 6 to 12 months, but I've got bills due next week, next yeah. month. I've got stuff I got to take care of. What's your advice to them to balance the demands of their current reality
right.
with, hey, there's a better way to do this that you're building for the long term, but maybe they feel, I don't know that I'll ever be able to wait for that unless I get a big break. What do you say to those people?
Back when I used to do a lot of media consulting and authority marketing and so forth, and people would say, I've been in the media over 3,000 times. How on earth did you do that? And it wasn't because I blasted out press releases and I just spammed journalists and producers. I've never done that. I spend more time with fewer people. I spend time with the right kind of people. And so yeah. you really have to treasure and value relationships as opposed to being way generic, because the amateur marketers do all the generic stuff, like that they do all the generic impersonal spray and pray stuff. So that's already not working really well. That's really frustrating. That can end up being very expensive. And also too, because the quality of the ones who do say yes can sometimes be so poor, that can really be maddening. So you find yourself yeah. now investing personal time with the wrong people, right? Or the other people that are just at that level of desperation. If the goal now is to fill your schedule with more higher quality people, right? So mm-hmm. if you want to punch up a couple of levels and you want to stay busy with that type of crowd, you are going to have to think differently. So here's the best analogy I know for this. Say again, your goal is to, let's say you want to attract butterflies. Like we have a milkweed plant that we brought and started attracting butterflies. Then we got caterpillars and then we moved them into a little butterfly enclosure. And sure enough, we ended up hatching five butterflies out of that. But anyway, let's say that your goal is to attract butterflies. Now, somebody, and there are a lot of gurus out there, and again, don't feel bad if you've done this, but what they'll do is they'll sell you a butterfly net and they say, okay, you need sales today. So your job is to run up and down the street and try to catch mm-hmm. as many butterflies as you can. Now, I understand right. that sometimes, again, you got to do a little bit of hunting, fishing, that sort of thing. But ultimately, what you want to do, that's one way to do it. You can grab a butterfly net. You can run up and down the street like a maniac, swinging it around, trying to catch butterflies. You can do that. I would argue that's not very sustainable, because at the same time, the business adults know that the better way to attract butterflies is to do what? To plant a butterfly garden. Because if you plant a butterfly garden, now the butterflies come to you. So that's your most important thing. We got to get you out of this rat wheel of eating for today. And again, mm-hmm. I'm empathic and I'm sorry if you've got 30 days. I've been there, by the way. It's like, matter of fact, when I launched my other company, Savings Angel, at the beginning, like I didn't even have money. I was living in West Michigan. I didn't even have money to pay my rent. It was my heating bill. And it was March. And if you're in Michigan in March, I led in generosity And I approached a local radio station and I said, listen, I would love to advertise. I don't have budget for that. But what I can do is be of service to your listeners and I can give value. And here's, so we designed like a quick little segment where I'd tell people that they can get free things at the grocery store and so forth. And they're like, okay, we'll try it out. And I said, listen, my mindset was not to sell and pitch. It was to give generously and treat the audience like adults. Now, because I did that, those audiences, I feel like they resonate with that a little bit better. This guy's nice. He's good. He's like generous. He's giving away all his value. And you just, you don't have to hit him over the head. Just like, yeah, by the way, if you want some more free stuff, you go to my website and share the website URL. And they did. And Kenny, like that week, I earned just enough money to pay my heating bill. And I did. I went in, it was a Tuesday morning. My heating bill was due on the Friday and I earned enough to pay my heating bill that week. And you can call it Providence, you can call it the universe, you can call it God, you can call it whatever you want. But all I knew is that I wanted to be the willing servant. I wanted to be the guy that said, here I am, use me, I'm going to go, and I'm just going to make the world a better place. Now, again, I've got a good offer. I've really worked hard to understand what the market wants, so I don't want to respond with a bad offer or something that is just too complicated or whatever. I truly felt like I had what the market was looking for. So you do that, and the business will come. Again, let's say that you, because I want to make sure I didn't blow over your question, because I think you're really focused on what can someone do to drum up money sooner rather than later. So if that were me and I were in dire straits, what I would do is I would look through my audience. I would try to reach out personally. Do not copy and paste. Do not do fill in the blank, mail merge kind of stuff. What I want you to do is I want you to talk to each person individually. Find your 10 to 15 best quality people. And then what I want you to do is reach out to them in generosity. So there was a movie, I used to use this example, it's the one that immediately comes to mind, Finding Dory, which is the follow-up to Finding Nemo. Mm-hmm. Okay, there's this totally, my spirit animal, Gerald the sea lion. He's like this goofy sea lion. Nobody likes him. He's just a total doofus, right? He's just very awkward looking. That's how I feel some days, most days. Anyway, so he wants to go on Sea Lion Rock. The other sea lions won't let him do that until he performs an act of service and he goes to get the pail in the bucket. And because of that, he's able to then earn his way onto Sea Lion Rock. So if you're looking to punch up a couple of levels, you're just simply going to have to, if you're initiating the outreach, then you are going to have to give away something that they want. And it ain't a white paper. It ain't a discovery call. It ain't just grabbing coffee unless you're at that level of relationship with them, right? It's going to have to be something like, for example, hey, I noticed, like I did this with John and Kate from Entrepreneur on Fire. I was on a podcasting cruise with them. I just say, hey, I just pulled up your website. I noticed that you didn't have a press kit. Listen, I just, as a way of saying thank you, I would be honored to have my team and I do a free press kit just as a thank you for all of the hours and hours, dozens of hundreds of hours that you've given me and I have not reciprocated. I'll happy to do that pro bono. You don't have to give me anything. I'm just honored to do it because I believe in what you do. Okay. Mm-hmm. I did it. Cost me maybe $100 in labor plus some of my own time or whatever. And as a result, we got to know each other a little bit more and that led to an invite to be a guest on the podcast. And I didn't have to pay like most people. So there's an example. If you have nothing, let's say you have nothing of value, like you can still, I'll give you another example. So I went to a conference. There are conferences I go to and I'm the featured keynote speaker. And then there are conferences I go to. I'm just another face in the crowd, right? It's a completely different experience. So I went to one conference where it was my wife's conference. She was part of a presentation or something like that. Nobody there knows me. They don't care who I am. But I'm like, I'm just like sitting around and I'm a part of this Facebook group that was loosely associated with the event that was going on. My wife is a licensed marriage and family therapist and a sex therapist. She's really good at what she does. And she works with a distinct population. Okay. So I went there and I'm just sitting around. I'm a member of this group. It's not my platform. And I saw the founder of this event over there. And she just seemed like she was sitting around. I'm like, I got nothing else to do. So I went into the group. I typed up a little quick little post and it allowed me to go live. I verified it was totally cool for me to do this in that group. And I went over to say, hey, do you want to do a quick Facebook live to the XYZ group or whatever? And she goes, yeah, I'd love that. Cause she doesn't know how to do this stuff or just doesn't think of it or whatever. And I'm like, so yeah, so what we'll do is I'll just go live and I'll just ask you a few questions and tell us what's going on at this event. So I did that. I said, hey, I'm Josh. You don't know me, but you know so-and-so. And then I aimed the camera at her. I say, why don't you tell me about the event? Tell me what's going on, who you've got on the docket, who your keynote speaker is later. And I just started acting in service, right? And So we did that. She's like talking about the event. She loves this, right? I have nothing. No, Kenny, I have nothing to gain here. There's no ulterior motive. I'm just here to make the world a better place. Solve. I could help out in this way, do good for the group or organization, whatever. And then I was like, you know, we're talking. And I'm like, and it looks like you have some vendor booths set up. Is there anybody we should go talk to? And she's like, oh, yeah. So I know the business model here. I know in her brain, if she can make these vendors look good, that's going to make her look good. You see this pattern that's going on? This cost me nothing to do. But now she's talking with the vendors. I'm just still live streaming the whole thing. I'm not even on camera. Like, she's doing everything. We went to 4 or 5 different vendors and then was like, okay, thank you so much. And then I hit stop on that. Okay, we get done with that. What do you imagine the response of the founder and all of the vendors that are there? Like, they are like loving on me. And I'm like, I didn't really even do anything. You guys did all the hard work.
Yeah.
What I'm doing in that moment is I'm leveraging platform to show generosity. Now that earns me proximity together, right? And when I don't have an ask, I'm not trying to sell it anybody. I'm not jab, right, hook. I'm just all give and trust the process. Now, as a result, she's like, who are you? What can I do for you? I'm like, well, you don't know me, but you know, you might know Jenny. She's, you know, da, 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 da. And so then they started talking. Will that ever turn into anything? Kenny, I don't care. Because here's one thing I've learned, and this is, I'm sure you probably know the Bible verse better than I do, but there's this, you know, I love this idea of, you know, where you plant your seeds is not necessarily where you reap your harvest, but we plant, we give, we sow, and then you get to a point where you show up in your industry as a giver and you use platform to celebrate others. Okay, you will get to a point, I promise you this, where you will not be able to outgive the industry as they reciprocate back for your small tokens of gesture with no immediate asks.
Somebody should just rewind that and listen to it on repeat because there was some great nuggets throughout that. And I love that the, how can you take whatever light you have? And I know we've talked off about a mutual acquaintance, James Carberry, when he has the book, The Content-Based Networking. And in that, he mentions like the Oprah effect. But essentially what he's saying is just take the spotlight, stop trying to get in it and hog it. Just keep shining it on everybody else. If you want to take a different approach, it sounds very similar to the famous Zig Ziglar quote, which is if you spend your life helping others get what they want, you'll never have to worry about getting what you want.
That's it. Yeah. So many people and most amateur marketers are so focused on, I want to have impact. I want to have influence. I want to grow my audience. And so they keep shining the spotlight on themselves. You look at most people's social media, it's people showing off how attractive they are and how smart they are and how successful they are. And it's to me, it's like, okay, cool for you, I guess, you know? And so, you know, where as opposed to, I get really excited when they say, hey, meet Kenny Lang. And by the way, I would love to meet and celebrate you. I respond to that kind of message way different than someone just, hey, look at my new Ferrari. I'm like, bro.
Like, got that, like giraffes again, in the background. Sure, we know you're at the zoo, man. Chill out.
Yeah. I think that there's a population that's probably, there's a segment of the population that's hearing me and they're like, man, I am not resonating with anything that this guy's saying. Cool. I get that I'm not for everybody, but there is a segment of the population that's hearing what I'm saying. And in their gut, they're saying that feels right to me. That feels good to give and to earn relationships. And I don't like awkward sales conversations. I like authentic relationships and connections. I just want to know how I can get that more often. And again, generosity and platforms, the way to do that, if you come search me on Google or whatever, you'll see, you'll learn all about me. Eventually you could take a look at Up My Influence. If you want a deeper dive on this, by the way, I don't even need your email address. I don't need you to opt in, but you'll see if you go to my website, it's upmyinfluence.com. I've got a 1 hour and 15 minute where I go through all the data. I go through a lot of case studies. I go through a lot. I've interviewed over 2,000 leaders. Most of them are responsible for growth. And so I've had a lot of intimate conversations with them about what's working and not what's not working. And I just share that data with you. And I don't even sell anything in the presentation. I don't need your email and I don't have anything to sell you. Now, if you love it and you want to grab some time with me, cool. Love to learn what you're doing. I don't know if there's a fit for us. I don't know if there's an opportunity for us. Certainly, I look for opportunities where I can serve as a bit of a chief revenue officer role. And I'm interested in hearing about opportunities because usually we're really good at facilitating lots of high-level introductions. And then we create great business together. I don't know. Right. That's up to y'all. Whoever's our friend that's listening to us.
But it's an example of you eating your own dog food, of having something. It doesn't have to be, not everything has to be gated. And that there is a bit of leaning into the serendipity of things of, I gave this away, will it come back to me? And this is going to make marketers cringe. What if you can't track it? I did the Home Alone face for those of you who are only listening. I should probably make that like the thumbnail. But I love this idea. And I think that there's so many of us business owners and leaders, they love what you're hearing and they would fall into, at least on the, let's just talk about the for-profit side, what I would call a purpose-driven business. One that is looking to use its business to build its people, not use its people to build their business. They got that real like others-focused mindset. So when they hear things like this, they're like, I would love to be that way. And I do think, and it happens to all of us, the pressure of performance can sometimes squeeze out those good intentions, right? Mm-hmm. They hear what you're saying, they're resonating. And for somebody, this may be that reminder of, no, that's more who I am. Like, I can't let the pressure of the marketplace, of business, of performance, of clients, of things like that. And I'm not saying that you just become flippant and don't care about those things, but don't let that squeeze out who you are. And that's what I hear you saying and talking about the person who's listening, that this resonates, this is clicking, this is sparking something, this is, it's pouring gas on the fire. Because I know I'll listen to people like you and go, yeah, I would love to be like that one day. And then, and I think maybe you can dispel some of this myth, and I think you have been so far, but I think there's an idea, an image, a misconception that, you can do that once you're successful. You can just spend 2 hours with this person and that person and build a whisper network and do these things. You can be generous when you have so much to give, but I don't hear you saying that. I hear you saying that it may be that success followed these activities. Is that
absolutely
in the ballpark?
Yes, 100%. And when I've because again, with the Thoughtful Entrepreneur, I've done over 2,000 episodes at this thing. That is a consistent pattern. The behavior did not change when they got successful. They got successful because they had the right behavior and the right patterns of success early in it. And again, I know that sounds contrary to what a lot of gurus sell. Gurus love to sell easy, automatic riches because it sounds good. Americans especially love that whole rags to riches thing where you can just do this on autopilot. Listen, every leader I talk with know that's a bunch of baloney. It takes a lot of work. It takes relationships. The best, you think about the most meaningful relationships in your life right now. Okay. Mm-hmm. They took time to get there. And again, what I'm talking about doesn't sound as sexy, but it probably doesn't sell to the desperate early stage entrepreneur who's just looking for some quick fix or quick solution, right? There is a way to, again, handle your bills. And again, but it's going to be around spending more time with fewer people. Again, isolate and find the 10, 20 people. What we're talking about is a reality. Kenny, what you're talking about, 66% of small business owners report that financial challenges are their number one source of stress. That's according to the Federal Reserve Bank. And so again, Harvard Business Review talked about this a lot, like it's cash flow. So if you're an agency owner, if you're a consultant, if you're a coach, if you're a B2B service provider, and you've got good months, and then you got bad months, and this is constant up and down, and you're looking at your birthday, and you're like, damn it, I'm like in my 30s and 40s. This is getting pretty frustrating that at this stage of my life, I'm still dealing with this kind of an issue. I'm good at what I do. And you're the type of person that, like, when you're in the right room with the right people, like people generally do business with you. Okay, I really think you should be paying attention to what I've been talking about today, because you are perfectly primed for leading and generosity to solve this once and forever. Okay, it doesn't have to take 6 months. We work with people at different levels. When we work with people at the VIP level, we're generally getting them booked calls within 30, 40 days. It takes a little bit of setup. We got to set the engines right. Again, I don't know that I'm a fit for everyone listening to this conversation. If you learn about how we do what we do, I can tell you it's a more elegant way of doing business. Again, if you don't like those awkward, weird sales conversations where you feel this pressure to sell, it's just liberating. When you don't have to worry about saying the perfect closing tactics anymore, it's just, how would you show up in a friendship? And you always show up as the friend. And if you show up in the friend, usually what we find is those are the people, our clients anyway, between the 200, 250 that we've worked with, who end up doing the best business, the most business, that make the most money, is because people just like them. And Kenny,
there's a lot to chew on. We could run that back, but I love this approach. This resonates with my heart and how I try to do business and what I also advocate for. Now, if somebody's listening, they're like, this is great. I don't want to do the, I'll do it another day sort of person. If they could take a step in the next 24 hours, little to no money, to just dip their toe in the waters of leading with generosity, what would you tell them to do?
At the risk of sounding self-serving, I am going to teach you for free. I don't need your email address. If you bounce in and out, cool. And I'm not your cup of tea, great. You probably will get some ideas. I'll just talk specifically about how I could personally help. And then maybe I'll talk a little bit more generally. So again, go take a look at my website, watch my video. It's going to give you a lot of actionable ideas. I give away some other freebies. We've got a network of over 100 podcasts, that B2B podcasts that we've launched. So I may have some really solid introductions. I'm always looking for great guests for my podcast, The Thoughtful Entrepreneur. If you're doing six figures or beyond in business and you're B2B, that might be an opportunity for you. If I'm not a fit for you, there's an email. I send one email out a week with new podcasts that are always looking for great guests. You can take a look at that. I'd read The Go-Giver by Bob Berg. I honestly think it's the best book on sales today based on what works today. And other than that, I would also just get really honest. I would start obsessing over your customer persona and what is the thing that you can give them that they truly want that has nothing or very little to do with sales, but it will earn you time together where proximity leads to familiarity, ultimately creating maybe some virtual familiarity bias. You could build that know, like, and trust. You lead in generosity to earn the time with the people that you ultimately want to collaborate and do business with. That is your goal right now, is to do that and lean. 80, 90% of your sales effort needs to be focused on being far more generous in your industry so you can earn the time with the big wigs. And again, leaders that like each other, Kenny, you don't, like, if they like each other, they are going to find ways of doing business together. You don't have to push it. Like, it just, like, it should always feel organic and natural. And if it's not, okay, that's fine. Not everyone needs to buy your thing. That's up to them. People spend so much time trying to build the better mousetrap and try to convince people, when if you just lean in the direction of authenticity, you'll do business with far more people to begin with. Yeah. If you're only just trying to convince the persuadable or the easily persuadable, or the mind that can be convinced by a hard sales close, good luck. That's hard work. Yeah. And just emotionally, I just don't have the gas in the tank for that kind of work. Anyway, so that's, again, hopefully I've shared some action items now that should give you some great ideas.
Absolutely. And I will say this, Josh isn't paying me for this part, but I've been on the receiving end of a lot of that generosity. I've seen the emails that go out every week about different podcasts, but even just one-to-one, he hopped on a call and was giving me ideas and asking me questions that were really thoughtful. It may have been so ingrained in him that he doesn't have a script anymore, but it really was a people first approach, and so, which I'm really grateful for. And it's one of the reasons why I wanted to invite you to be on the podcast, because I think you represent what you say. There's an integrity there that I appreciate and respect. Now, if somebody, again, you've mentioned upmyinfluence.com, the Thoughtful Entrepreneur podcast. If people want to connect with you in other places, is there a channel or a platform that you'd recommend?
If you want to see videos of me cooking delicious things in the kitchen and being, I'm a plant daddy and a doggy daddy, and I play bass guitar, and I picked that up about a year ago. If you want to connect with me personally, Facebook is, I probably spend a little bit too much time on the Facebook sharing. But if you want more business type of stuff, listen, if you watch my presentation, it's an Attraction Mastery Workshop. I don't need your email address. But at the end of that, if you truly still continue to feel inspired, yeah, grab 30 minutes with me. Love to learn what you do. I may have some immediate connections. There may be some immediate opportunities for us. I don't know. Like I said, where there's really great alignment, I'm always looking for chief revenue officer opportunities. No clue if that's for you and I, but again, I'm happy to be of service, however that looks.
Absolutely. And we'll link all of that up in the show notes. So we got all the different platforms so you can find the one of your choosing. And depending on if you want to see business advice or him playing bass guitar or serenading his plants, then you can pick the one that's right for you. But thank you so much, Josh, for being a guest. I hope it's certainly not the last time that you can come and share your wisdom with us. But to all the listeners out there, thank you so much for spending just a little bit of time with us. I if you made it this far, I really hope that it was a blessing and a help to you. It would really be appreciated if you could leave a 5-star review or subscribe, whatever the right button is on the platform you consume this. One, helps give me feedback to know where do I lean, because I want this to be valuable for all of you. So I appreciate that feedback. I will read all the comments and all the reviews and everything. And so I'm always open to that. But also, this is a free way. If you want to be a go-giver, this is a free way to just pay it forward, get this sort of content in front of more of your fellow leaders, because you never know which conversation may be the key to unlocking their next step to success. And that'll feel just really good for you. You'll rest a little easier tonight when you put your head on your pillow. But until next time, change the way you think, you'll change the way you lead. We'll see you.